Green. Just freaking Green. Bregnar, there's Lady Sunny and that dude, Sean. They're here to help us defend the castle. We're all going to die. I kinda in agree whether to camp the king or defend the gates. Let's run before they get here. Oh, but before we go, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Guildcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 67th episode of Guildcast for March 24th, 2007. I'm your host, Sean. This here is a breaking news episode of sorts concerning the news this week that confirms most of the information I discussed last episode of a Guild Wars 2 and Guild Wars Eye of the North. Yep, that's right, there will actually be both. And yes, that's right, I was completely wrong on thinking that the information was untrue. Well, most of it anyway. And the topic that I was originally going to do for this episode will actually be postponed until next time. So what this episode will be is my take on this new information, plus a very special interview I did with Kristen Salvatore of PC Gamer Magazine. Since she's the one that actually wrote the article on this new information, I figured, who better to interview about it, right? First though, it really wouldn't be a Guildcast episode without a few shoutouts to players. So, there's Captain Rye, there's Rar, I'm a Dinosaur, Lady Fenarial, and Maximizer the Great. So what I'm actually going to do this show is I'll play the interview I did with Kristen, and then I'll talk more about my views and opinions on this news. And then I'll play a segment submitted by Lady Sinea regarding her views on this new information. So enjoy! Okay, I have with me today, I have Kristen Salvatore, who's from PC Gamer Magazine. If you're any kind of gamer at all, then you know who she is. How are you doing there, Kristen?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for coming on.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do at PC Gamer?
Sure. I'm the executive editor at PC Gamer, which, you know, there's only seven of us on the staff here. There's five editors and two artists, two members of the art department, so, you know, in the course of the 28 days it takes us to make a magazine, everybody kind of pitches in. So I edit a lot of stories and assign out a lot of stories. And when there's time, I write stories. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough last month to get to work on our cover story, which was the Guild Wars, the announcement of Guild Wars 2 and the Eye of the North expansion.
Yeah, that's the whole reason we're here today. It's pretty big news. I know a lot of people have been, the forums have just been ablaze about this. And it's... You know, rightfully so, because it is pretty big news. Let's start out with just tell me a little bit about the basics of this article and what it's about.
Sure. Well, first, I got to say, like, I'm glad that people are so excited. It's really fun. It's not that often these days that that a magazine gets to sort of make the announcement of big news. You know, a lot of the times we get trumped by stuff online, or, you know, there's just, like, you know, companies aren't as excited to... aren't always as excited to keep things a secret as the ArenaNet guys were, so it was super fun to be able to, like, be first and make the announcement. So I'm glad the forums are ablaze. That's good news.
Yeah.
So basically, what's happening is, and I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna go too much into it because we want you all to go buy the magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a huge article. It's about 14 pages long, so there's way more information in here that I could possibly cover. Or than really you all would want me to cover on this podcast. But essentially what's going on is, you know, anybody who's familiar with Guild Wars knows, one of the main things about the game is that it's pretty much one of the only MMOs out there that there's no monthly fee for. You just buy the box game and then you play it as much as you want. And kind of in order to make that work for the company, you know, whereas other big MMOs will release the game and then you pay the monthly fee and, you know, there are, regular patches and then you buy expansions and stuff. What Guild Wars, the ArenaNet team, decided to do was to basically put out new campaigns every 6 months was their original plan. And they did that pretty successfully. The first campaign, I think, was a little late. It took about a year, but But since then, you know, factions and Nightfall. Nightfall was 6 months after the previous game. So anyway, so what they decided to do was, rather than continue on that path, which was basically forcing them to recreate the game every 6 months, they've decided to release a sequel. So there's going to be a Guild Wars 2 that's going to be really different from the current Guild Wars in a lot of ways, but with no changes in some really important ways, including the fact that there will still be no monthly fee, which rocks.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, now I know I've heard that this Eye of the North thing will be kind of a segue between Guild Wars 1 and 2.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's actually, you know, whereas the other, I know people sometimes refer to the campaigns as expansions, but, you know, they're not really, because you can play any one of those games independently. I mean, they're all linked, but you didn't have to have the previous games in order to play the campaigns. Eye of the North is a true expansion. You're going to have at least one of the previous Guild Wars games in order to play Eye of the North.
Yeah.
So it's a true expansion, and it's, you know, it's all high-level content. You know, there aren't going to be any new professions introduced, but primarily it's going to be a bridge between Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2.
So it's going to be cheaper, though, right? It's not going to be like a full-price game?
They didn't. You know, they were a little squirrely on that information. So,
oh, okay.
So I can't actually tell you yet.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Because they didn't tell me.
I would imagine. I mean, just from speculation, I know a lot of people have speculated about it, but just because of the fact that it's an expansion instead of a standalone, they've been doing, I would imagine it's going to be cheaper. But, you know, like you said, there's no official word yet, so...
Yeah, and I think that's probably a good guess. Like, one of the things that I thought was really cool, I went up and spent a whole day. I mean, I got up at 5 in the morning and flew up to Seattle and stayed with them all the way through dinner. I spent the whole day with the Arena Net guys. Yeah, and they're a fantastic group. I was really impressed by just the philosophy that directs the way they make games.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a real... what I perceive to be a true commitment to their players. I mean, I was just, like I said, I was really impressed with just the way they think about their games and the way they think about kind of serving their customers, really. And so I think it's a fair guess at whatever it is, you know, however it is they decide to pursue that, it's going to be based on, like, what's going to be best for their players.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So. And that's another thing is, you know, they've announced this news right now, and it's still pretty early, and a lot of people are getting upset about it or not upset. You know, people are really happy, or it seems to be polarized on either way. But people have to understand that that there's still a lot of feedback that they're going to listen to, and they always listen to feedback, and they usually respond to that feedback. And I think they do a fantastic job at working around what the players really want. So
yeah, one of the things they actually told me that day that I don't think I put in the article is that every single post on every single, like, Guild Wars related forum everywhere, they have people who are dedicated to, like, ferreting those out and reading them. Like, they're not reading just a portion of what you post, or, you know, they're not reading just a portion of the emails they get. Like, they have people dedicated to going through every single one of those things. Like, they take that really seriously. So yeah, I think you're onto something there. If they're definitely looking at the way people are reacting to this news, I can guarantee you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about this. I was reading, and I don't know if it's all in the article or whatever. I don't know if it's speculation or rumor, but I heard that Eye of the North will actually be, it'll be like an underground type of thing where you'll go basically underground of prophecies. Is this any of this true at all?
Yeah, no, okay. You're on the right track. I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah.
Especially in the article in the magazine, and you guys don't be bummed that I'm going to keep touting it because that's my job.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But in particular, there's lots of really amazing looking art. ArenaNet was really generous with the amount of art that they gave us, mm-hmm. both in-game art and concept art for Eye of the North, and then concept art for Guild Wars 2. But so in the magazine, it really demonstrates how different some of this looks. And I got to spend a bunch of time actually in their art department the day I was there checking out, because, you know, a lot of the current Guild Wars settings are, I mean, they're really natural and lush, and they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the settings in Eye of the North are definitely, you know, there's some of that too, but there's these really interesting, cool, and kind of gothic-looking underground, you know, dungeons is essentially what they're referring to them as. So yeah, you're definitely going to spend some time underground, but it's neat looking down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really, it's different. And I kind of liked the idea that it's, you know, it creates like a pretty interesting juxtaposition. You get to, there's something interesting about leaving this sort of pretty and light area up top and then going down underneath where it's darker and kind of scarier and then emerging again in the pretty part.
Yeah, and that's another thing I was going to mention too is the fact that, you know, you can read all this information that people have taken from the magazine, like the subscribers who already have the magazine, and you can read it online, but you won't see the imagery that you guys have in the magazine. And that's something that,
yeah,
you know, you got to run out and you got to get that magazine because the how many pictures? You said there's 14 pages?
It's 14 pages. Yes, 14 long pages. 14 long pages. So there's, yeah, I'm actually flipping. Here, listen, hear that? That's the sound of me flipping through the magazine, people.
Yeah, that sounds about like 14, yeah.
Yeah, and there's tons and tons of art. There's actually including some character or some art. It's not in-game art, but some art of some of the new playable races.
Oh,
that nice. Will be in there, so that's all in there. Yeah, there's it's really good looking stuff. It's, you know, we aren't always treated to so much good looking stuff. Like sometimes, especially given how far off the second game is, you know, there aren't always assets available. And you know, like I said, ArenaNet was awesome about just giving us tons of stuff. There's actually also a bunch of pictures if people are interested. I think this is kind of cool of the ArenaNet guys themselves, of like their lead developer,
oh, yeah,
and then Jeff Strain and Mark O'Brien, who are two of the co-founders. You know, I had a photographer with me who took pictures of those guys kind of talking me through what was going on. So you get to sort of see a little bit of what ArenaNet is like. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a bear of a job, but it was really fun.
Yeah. It's well worth it, though, I'd say.
Oh, heck yeah. I think so. But you know what? Don't listen to me. Head to your nearest newsstand. The article will actually hit newsstands on April 3rd, so people still have a little while before it's gonna be on the newsstand. But
yeah, I'm gonna be waiting in line on April 3rd.
That's what we like to see. We're gonna have to get you subscribed, man.
Yeah, yeah, that definitely. I got the one with the last mini pet that came out, you know, when Nightfall came out.
Right.
So this one is actually going to have a mini pet also.
He is the coolest thing ever. Like, I actually got my advanced copy of the magazine with the code in it, and I already, in fact, a funny thing happened to me for the first time ever. I was playing Guild Wars just before you and I got on this call, and somebody actually recognized me. I've never gotten, like, called out as, like, hey, you're the PC gamer person. So that was kind of funny. But yeah, I need to make sure I have my pet out and running around with me when I'm in towns because he's totally crazy looking. So the pet is it's a miniature Asura, and the Asura are one of the new playable races that are playable in Guild Wars 2 but get introduced to you in Eye of the North. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna, you know, when you go into the magazine, there's a page in the feature that talks about, you know, getting your, how to get your mini pet. It couldn't be any easier. Just when you log into the game, there's, as you're logging in, there's a little option to click on that says, like, click here to enter access key. And then you just plug in what's in the magazine and you get him instantly. You don't have to do a quest. You don't have to do anything wacky.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
He's immediately yours. So, yeah. And it's funny because, you know, only subscribers have gotten the magazine so far, so I haven't had a chance to, like, run around and find other people with Asura mini pets. But among the things that's actually, this is, I think, one of the coolest things in the article. We posed a question to the entire ArenaNet team, asking, you know, what are your favorite things to do in the game? And so across the board from, like, designers to artists, we got this awesome list of 12, like, wacky things that they like to do in the game. And one of them was to line up all of your mini pets and have them do a conga line. Yeah. So look for an Asura pet conga line near you. My Dervish Sugar High will be leading the way.
That's really cool. Now, when you interviewed in there, when you went to ArenaNet, did you have several different interviews with different people, or was it just Jeff Strain? Or?
I actually got to, there were about, let's see who was there. There was Jeff Strain, there was James Finney, who's their lead designer, Mike O'Brien, who is another one of the co-founders, Ben Miller and Eric Flanham, who are also game designers. I spent, I would say, 3 hours just sitting around a table with those guys. Oh, and there was somebody else there, too. I'm forgetting someone. Grubb, Jeff Grubb, that's his name. Okay. Whew. So I actually spent, hours sitting around a table with these guys, just, like, shooting questions at them and letting them explain to me kind of how they do their thing and what their plans are. So, yeah, it was really fun.
That's cool. Yeah. I know I've read other articles where they just interview one person. And so it's really cool that there's all this input coming in.
There's a lot of the article's kind of broken up into a couple different sections. So there's a whole section just on Eye of the North, and there's a whole section just on Guild Wars 2. And then there's this running text throughout the article that really is me asking them questions about, why they did what they're, what they're doing, and them answering it. It's full of quotes from these guys. And like I said, they were so generous about opening their doors. I mean, I had complete access to the whole company. I basically walked around and, like, tapped people on the shoulder and asked them what they were doing. And wow. they were really nice about just kind of letting us run through the place.
Yeah. I know in the collector's edition, they had that Making of Nightfall DVD.
Right.
For the collector's edition of Nightfall. And when I watched that, I've watched that probably a dozen times now.
Really?
And every time I watch it, I'm like, man, I wish I could work there. That would be the best.
I find that stuff really fascinating.
Yeah,
that's actually
one of my
favorite parts about doing these kinds of stories is I always feel like there's the story about the game and there's a story about, what's going to be happening, like the facts about what's going to be announced or changing in a game. But I always am really interested in the sub-story of, like, who's making the game and why they're making the decisions they're making. Like, that to me is really fascinating.
Yeah.
We get a lot of emails here from different readers or, of varying ages saying, like, how do I get into game development, or I want to make games, what do I do? And I feel like, especially for those people, it's really good to tell the story of the people behind making the game. So it's good to know that there are other people who find that as interesting as I do.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, yeah. So was there anything else that you wanted to add?
I sort of feel like I said I don't want to give too much away. And, mm-hmm. I know that that quite a few people have already posted, some basic information online, so I don't want to repeat what you can already find out there. But, I think there's a lot that's really worth checking out. Certainly the Asura mini pad, that in itself is way cool and definitely worth getting. But, anybody who, I would say people, current Guild Wars players, but also, anyone, even if you haven't played the game, it's such an easy game to pick up and start playing. And because there's no monthly fee, you're not sort of bound, like you can pick it up and put it down kind of, at will. So I think there's a lot in here for anybody who's just sort of interested in it, in a game like this that doesn't require them to keep paying for it. So
yeah, I'm often amazed at how many new players come into Guild Wars all the time. And I came into it probably about 3 months after it was released.
Really?
Back, in Prophecies, and I thought I was late, but there's people still coming into it now.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's just amazing, and it's just growing and growing and growing. This is just becoming so huge.
It's great. I really, it's sort of a running joke around here that it's the first MMO that's actually kind of gotten me hooked. I mean, I appreciate MMOs, but I'm not an MMO player.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not I'm a solo gamer. I don't usually play in groups, so I think part of the reason Guild Wars is so appealing is you don't have to play with other people. You don't have to play nice with other people.
Yeah.
You can do your own thing.
Yeah, so. Thanks to Heroes and Henchy.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually there's information in the article about what's going to be happening with those guys.
Oh, cool.
There's information about there's going to be some changes to the way that system works. There's going to be some new ways to kind of fill out your party and kind of a retooling of the companion system. That's all described in the article.
Cool.
Yeah. The world is going to, the Guild Wars 2 world will maintain a lot of the things that current players like, but there's going to be some really major differences that I think are going to be exceptionally interesting, and particularly because they're going to continue to do it without a monthly fee. So It's worth checking out.
Well, on this topic of you playing Guild Wars, I know, we've corresponded for quite a while now,
right.
Back before Nightfall even released. And I know, you know, the main reason I contacted you back then was because I know that on the podcast, on the PC Gamer podcast, you mentioned that you play Guild Wars, and that's really cool that, you know, you kind of stick it out there that you know, you're into something other than WoW or, you know, the other games.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, as an avid Guild Wars player, what do you think about this whole thing with the Guild Wars 2 and everything like that being a separate game?
Right. You know, I think my immediate concerns are probably the same concerns that most people will have. I mean, my first question was, can I bring my characters with me? Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't even, I mean, I would even consider myself not that hardcore of a Guild Wars player, only because I don't have that much time, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm sort of famous for, like, you know, playing a character up to, I don't, you know, not even up to level 20 and then just being like, oh, I'm going to re-roll. Like, so, but I know that there are a lot of people who are really invested in characters that they've had for quite a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So, and while you're not going to be able to bring your characters with you, there is a system that's going to be in place for bringing, you know, achievements and other things with you. So I think that's really cool. Yeah. So all is not lost.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something called the Hall of Monuments that's going to be introduced in Eye of the North, and it's described in detail in the article. But ArenaNet is going to make sure that you're not starting completely over. Like, people who've put in the time with the games up to now are still going to, that's going to carry over to the new game. So you're not starting completely over.
Well, that's reassuring.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. All is not lost. So, you know, I think it's, you know, I really like the fact that they're going to be trying some new things with persistence in the persistent world. I think that's going to be neat. It's a little, you know, anytime there's a change in, I mean, things seem to be going pretty well with their current way of doing things, you know, releasing the campaigns regularly. So, of course, the initial reaction is, why would you kind of fix what's not broken? Mm-hmm. But as they describe, in the interviews I had with them, they really, you know, they're doing this just because they really felt like, as well as they've been doing what they're doing, they can do it a whole lot better. And I figure, I'm on board with that. That sounds good to me. Yeah. Like, yeah. When a group that's already been doing something successfully says, hey, we've figured out a way to make it even better, I'm on board with that. So.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. And I like the fact that they're not, you know, they're not just sort of like leaving Guild Wars 1 players in the lurch in the meantime. Mm-hmm. You know, the expansion's going to come out, and it sounds like they're going to be really committed to doing regular, you know, like they just had the Canton New Year, like lots of live events like that, I think we can probably expect between, between the time the expansion and the second game come out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to know that they're going to stick by that.
Yeah, I think they're really committed to making sure that people are happy.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to do a good job at that anyway.
Yeah.
All right, well, cool. I guess we'll go ahead and wrap this up then.
Okay.
But I wanted to thank you for coming on. And sure. Everyone listening, run out on April 3rd and grab that PC Gamer.
Please
the May edition. Yeah, run out and grab that. Get your mini pet and check out those pictures on there and that 14-page article by Kristen. But thanks again, Kristen, for coming on.
Thank you.
And it's been a pleasure, definitely.
Thanks. It was fun.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So with this new information we have regarding the future of Guild Wars, I'm just going to go over a few of the major points that we talked about in the interview, and some that I've read on various forums. First off, let's tackle the expansion, Eye of the North. It's said that it will tie together what will soon be known as Guild Wars 1 and the upcoming Guild Wars 2. There will be no new classes, a ton of new skills and armors and explorable areas made up of a series of complex underground tunnels. New races will appear, but only as NPCs in the expansion, and then later on as playable races in Guild Wars 2. You may remember in previous episodes of Guildcast, I said what my wish list would be for the future of Guild Wars, and this is it, just about to the letter. So needless to say, I'm very excited about this, especially if they offer these things at a lower price than a full add-on chapter price. Of course, that's not confirmed, though. I do love the idea of no new classes, though. Because right now, with the dual class system, most combinations of profession mechanics can be created already. Everything else would just be simple aesthetics. Okay, so this brings us to Guild Wars 2, which will solve the problem of too many classes with the solution of new playable races. and I'm not sure if I'll pronounce these correctly, but so far what the news we have on these new playable races is we have the Asuras, which will actually be the mini pet. We have Silvari, and then we have the Char, which everyone loves, and we have the Norn. It's also supposed to have a completely new playing system with jumping, swimming, and sliding, and things like that. There will also be a redefined PvP system, a whole new way to have companions in your party, and even some persistent worlds. Just remember, though, the only way to know exactly what ArenaNet is planning is to go out and buy that PC Gamer magazine on April 3rd and read Kristen's article. That stuff is straight from ArenaNet, so no matter what you read on forums, or what I say here, or whatever, that article will be the truth on the subject. That said, though, I'm still going to comment on some of the things that I've heard and read concerning this article. Again, some of these may still be rumors because some of the information I got was from forums. Okay, so number one, we have the new playable races. I love and hate this idea. I love it because it will be a nice change, and I really want to play as a Char. And I hate it because I don't really want this game to become overly fantastical like many other, let's say, more cartoonish MMOs out there. And number two, you will not be able to take your Guild Wars 1 characters over to Guild Wars 2. This here is probably the worst news to me, because, you know, we've all worked on these characters for so long, and now they've reached the end of the line, right? Well, not really. Supposedly, through the Hall of Monuments, which will be in Eye of the North, your Guild Wars 1 characters will have a legacy that will live on, almost like a family tree, I've heard. Now, I'm all about character legacies and storylines, so this is really interesting to me. Also, though, more importantly, Guild Wars 1 will not die. You'll have these characters still to play in Guild Wars 1, as always. And as Kristen said, ArenaNet isn't planning on stopping the Guild Wars 1 support anytime soon. And one thing I am excited about regarding this is the chance to start over in Guild Wars 2. All the things I did wrong in Guild Wars 1, I can now remedy in Guild Wars 2. And that's pretty appealing, to a degree. So number three, are they increasing the level cap? I certainly hope not. This is just a rumor so far, until we actually read the article. But I've read some posts by Gail Gray where she says that there may either be a higher level cap or an infinite level cap. So it'll go from a skill-based game to a level grinding game? I think that really sucks, and I think I'm going to fillet every person who tells me how awesome they are because they're level 436 or whatever. Okay, so number four. Why would I buy the expansion if a whole new game is coming out in a year anyway? Well, ask yourself, why would you buy Factions if you knew Nightfall was coming out? Or if you just came into the game now, why would you go back and buy Prophecies? Or, you know, whatever. It's the same theory. Your Guild Wars 1 characters aren't going to waste. If nothing else, since Eye of the North is a link between games, that's reason enough right there to get Eye of the North. How much of a link, though, I'm not really sure. And number 5. Guild Wars 1 and 2 will always remain free of monthly fees. They've actually said this so many times that it's ghosted into my monitor. No monthly fees, ever. Rejoice and be glad in it. So all in all, I'd say I'm pretty happy about this new direction that the game is taking. The information that I've given is just the tip of the iceberg, though, in regards to how much new information is actually available in that PC Gamer article. And, you know, it's like Kristen said, you couldn't even really relay everything there unless you actually read it and you saw the photos. And, you know, I'm not just telling you guys to go out and buy the magazine because of anything special that I'm getting out of it or anything. It's not like that at all. I'm not getting anything. The simple fact is that PC Gamer got rights to an exclusive, I guess you could say, buttload of information, and it's our only source right now for what the truth is. I wasn't lying when I said that I'm going to be standing in line waiting for that issue on April 3rd. Now, my only concern is I wonder if I need to make a separate podcast for that separate game now.
Hey all, this is Lady Sinea bringing you The Word on the Street. By now you've probably heard something about the new expansion, or Eye of the North as they're calling it, which is due out by the end of this year, and about a new Guild Wars 2. Two major camps have been forming about this. One says that Guild Wars is doomed and they're not going to play anymore, and one says that ArenaNet is God, they know what they're doing, and there's nothing to worry about. I am in neither of these. I think that there will be some interesting changes, and not all of them that have been announced so far make me happy. I'm willing to wait, though, until we get some more information. I'm also intending to give as much feedback as possible so that ArenaNet knows what it is that I want to see in a game. I'd first like to point out that Guild Wars is not dead. We're told to expect a beta for Guild Wars 2 in 2008. The fastest Guild Wars 2 would possibly come out would be in 2008, though I suspect it would probably be not until at least 2009, so that's a good couple of years away. Yes, I know that Guild Wars has been like a good friend to us, but there is still plenty of gaming left in it. Plus, ArenaNet has already said that they know many people are greatly attached to their characters and may not wish to leave Guild Wars at all. ArenaNet has promised that they'll continue to support Guild Wars even after the release of the sequel. Guild Wars has been a very successful product, and although I suspect that this game probably hasn't been generating the revenue that they had originally hoped, I don't think ArenaNet is stupid enough to cut their own throat and kill our original Guild Wars entirely. One thing that is great about ArenaNet is that they listen to the community. Duena knows we're a hard bunch to please. We complained that with the faction's PvE preview, it was confusing getting thrown into the middle of the game, and that maybe if we had started from the beginning, we would have more fun getting the full experience, you know? So then when the Nightfall PvE preview came about, they tried to accommodate us and start us right from the beginning in Alona, and then we complained that it was pointless to level a character that was going to get reset in a couple of days. So, man, there's just no pleasing us, is there? But they do listen to us. People spoke out, and they said that there was too much content to keep up with, what with the chapter every 6 months plan, so we're getting an expansion pack instead, which is perfect. There are many other examples. My point is that they're listening to us and want to hear what we want. I've never played World of Warcraft, but I do know BattleNet well from playing StarCraft and Diablo. And there were things that I really, really hated about BattleNet, but I used to say, you know, hey, it's free, I guess you can't complain too much. Then, when I heard in 2005 about who was forming ArenaNet and everything that it was planning on, I was ecstatic. And for the most part, they have not let us down. They give us so much for our gaming experience, and there's no monthly fee. They do all this stuff, and it's free. How much more can you ask for? True, they don't give us everything that we want. I myself have posted on multiple forums and begged for the ability to add my two accounts together and add the Divine Aura of my second account onto my primary account, but that's been pretty much shot down multiple times, and people have said, nope, never gonna happen. And of course, there have been nerfs that have made people unhappy, but, you know, when you've got a bazillion skills to choose from, does it really matter all that much in the long run? They can't please everyone, but they sure as heck try. ArenaNet knows that the gamers are their customers. Yes, I've been known to rant and complain about this or that on occasion, but do you see me quitting the game? No, of course not. Even when I whined about the online store and said, I'm never buying anything from them ever, I finally broke down one day and had to eat crow when I bought a few character slots. At first, I thought that the timing of this announcement was a big mistake, announcing both Eye of the North and Guild Wars 2 at the same time. The first thing that I had to deal with when this news came out was a guildie who was upset about Guild Wars ending, and others saying that there was no point in playing anymore. And I was like, great, why couldn't the announcement of Guild Wars 2 at least come after the expansion was released? But then I realized that by leaking a tiny bit of information to us, even if it's just still concepts for them right now, ArenaNet will be able to get some immediate feedback from us. They'll find out from us what we do and don't like about what they've got planned so far. This early in the development, there's still plenty of time for them to make changes and adjust their strategies so that they can make a great game for us. So my suggestion to you, and this is what I plan on doing, is gather as much information as you can, read the article about this and help us give ArenaNet feedback. I am still waiting for something to top Prophecies. Maybe with our help, ANet will be able to give us a game in a few years that'll do just that. Until then, there's still plenty of reason to keep playing Guild Wars. Why do you play right now, anyway? For fun, right? Okay, I'll admit there's some bragging rights involved, too. And some taunting of Loudon. And buying mini pets. Oh, and pestering Cal, of course. But I think all of that falls under the category of having fun. So enjoy it! I love this game. I'm not going anywhere. Ascalon's in my blood. How about yours? This has been Lady Sinea bringing you The Word on the Street.
And that'll do it for this episode of Guildcast. The next episode will resume our regularly scheduled programming, and I'll have the topic of how to run a successful guild, complete with interviews with guild leaders. So it's certainly not too late to contact me with any suggestions that you have on a quality guild leader for me to consider. Again, I want to thank Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine for coming on the show, and as always, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.